Until we get into a series, we'll probably stay in Psalm 119 for probably at least till next week. So if you would, turn in your Bibles to Psalm 119. And verse 62. I guess that Paul Brown's skipping around churches a little bit. Not the Paul Brown from South Point. Not the missionary. all right, Psalm 119 and verse 62. At midnight I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments. David had an alarm clock of praise which woke him up in the middle of the night to thank God for all the blessings that he had bestowed upon him. At midnight, I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments. I'd say that's a pretty amazing thing to go to bed, take your rest, and rise in the middle of the night to sing the praises of Almighty God, because He is righteous, because His judgments and His ways and His word are true. The old Puritan Thomas Manton said, "That which hindereth the sleep of ordinary men is either the cares of this world, the impatient resentment of injuries, or the sting of an evil conscience. These keep others waking." But David was awakened by a desire to praise God. No hour is unseasonable to a gracious heart. He is expressing his affection to God when others take their rest. A thankful heart was more important to David than sleep. There's a lesson here for us all to be ready to praise God at every hour of the day or night because of His righteous judgments. And it's not just merely speaking. The word judgment here has to do with the Word of God, the truth of it, the righteousness of it, and certainly that's true when He judges sinners as well. But He's referring specifically, I'm going to praise God because everything in His Word is righteous and true altogether. There are no errors, there's no deceit, there is no nothing that would turn you to the wrong way. The Word of God's filled with righteous truth that we are to walk in and live by. And David thanked God in the middle of the night for that. Do you ever wake up in the middle of the night? I do it every night. And I've learned one of the best ways to have a peaceful night's sleep is you determine when you go to bed at night that your mind is on the Lord. You ought maybe quote a scripture, or while you're laying there ready to drift off to sleep, pray for God to give His beloved sleep. And then when you wake up in the middle of the night, instead of Because I tell you, a lot of times you wake up and you start thinking about things. You start thinking about what has to be done or what you left undone or a problem that needs to be solved or a bill that needs to be paid or a trial that you're going through. And if you want to get back to sleep and you want to have a peaceful night's rest, one of the best ways to do it is to start praying. Pray for your family. Pray for your friends. Pray for sinners to be saved. Pray for the people that are on the prayer list that God brings to your mind. Pray for God to give you holiness and righteousness in your life. And then praise God. Start naming off all of the blessings, all of the things that God has blessed you with, and your family and your church. And you're going to find that once you start getting your mind on those things, and then start quoting Scripture. You don't have to quote it out loud to wake your husband up or your wife up, but begin to quote Scripture. And you'll find that you'll fall back to sleep. And hopefully you'll be in the right frame of mind when you wake up. This is biblical. David said, "I'll arise at midnight to praise the Lord for His righteous judgments." Now this is a guy after God's own heart. This is the one that wrote Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul." He knew something about the peace of God that passes all understanding. And evidently, this is a key to the peace of God. How often is our devotion to God hindered and dampened by the weariness of our flesh? You know, you get tired or you get sick, and you're in poor health, or you're going through bodily affliction, and it gets hard. But if we can just keep our mind on the Lord, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, for he trusteth in thee." If we can learn, even in the worst of times, the severest trials, the darkest nights, to remember to pray and praise. Because when you really get down to it, you've got a lot to praise God for. If you're saved by the grace of God, you ought to be able at any moment of any day be able to say, "I praise the Lord for the salvation of my soul, His everlasting love, the power and the preciousness of the redeeming blood of Jesus Christ. I praise God for His provision, spiritually and physically, that He's provided for me and for my family. I praise God that I have a measure of health today, that I've got strength to carry on. I praise God for who He is, the Almighty, the Sovereign, who has absolutely everything under control, that there are no surprises. He knows the end from the beginning, and He's ordained everything. I can praise Him for who He is and what He's done and what He will do. I can praise Him at any moment of any day, day or night, that Jesus promised to come again to receive me unto Himself." There are so many avenues of praise. Praise God for the spouse He gave you, for the children He blessed you with, for the grandchildren that you have, for the church that the Lord has placed you in, for the friends, family that you have. So much. the reason why our peace is often disrupted is because we're not focusing on what we ought to praise God for. Rather, we sometimes focus on the things that are irritants to our lives, or we think we deserve better. That's just the reality of who we are as human beings in a fleshly body, we still have an old nature. We need to fight against anything that would rob us of time that we spend alone with the Lord, so we can learn to praise Him under all circumstances. You know, one of the best, if you're driving somewhere, that's a good time to turn everything off and just talk to the Lord. Now, if you're by yourself, it's hard to do with kids. I know that for a fact. But you need to learn when you can have your alone time. It might be early in the morning before everybody else gets up. It may be late at night. But you've got to get your mind on the things of the Lord so that you can praise Him. Charles Bridges asked this question. These questions: do we earnestly seek for a heart delighting in heavenly things? The more the flesh is denied for the service of God, the more we shall be elevated for the enjoyment and realize the privilege of the work. And instead of having so often to mourn that our souls cleave unto the dust, we shall mount upwards with eagle's wings, and even now by anticipation take our place before the throne of God and the Lamb. Such is the active influence of self-denial in exercising our graces and promoting our comfort. Oh, how much fervent would be our prayers! How much more fruitful in blessings were they enlivened with more abundant delight in the angelic work of praise. When was the last time you really did have a praise session? Like I said, in the middle of the night when you're waking up and you want to go back to sleep, do something productive. You know, David said, I'm going to rise at midnight to praise Him for His righteous judgments. But when was the last time you just had a good old-fashioned praise session where you began to open up your heart, reflect on your life, and begin to praise God? You know, the Bible says in Ephesians 1:3, that He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I can make the argument that if you're saved, you are far more blessed than the people of this world who seemingly have it all. You're far more blessed. You can pillow your head at night knowing where you're going for all eternity. You realize that there are people that they can't get a restful night of sleep because they're addicted to drugs, or they have to go to bed in a drunken stupor just to give their body some rest, because the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest. See, you can even praise God by way of comparison. My mother used to stress this all the time when we were going through something hard, she'd say, "Yeah, this might be hard, but at least you don't have to go through this." Somebody else always has something worse, she would say. Sleep is necessary to our physical well-being. You ought to sleep good. Now, this is not a drug. It's a natural thing. I think it's melatonin gummies. All right, now I'm telling you something. I studied up on it. I ate one of them middle of melatonin gum, and I sleep pretty good. I wake up at least once a night. But this morning I got up a little bit late, and Tammy said, "I don't know how you're sleeping so good now with your back and all the other things." And she said, "Oh, I saw you eat one of them gummies last night." I said, "Tammy, I've been doing this for a long time, and I think it does help you. But you do need sleep. If you don't get sleep, you're going to be a bear." The grandkids, when Grammy wasn't sleeping good, when she would wake up, they called her the Russian bear. Please don't tell her I said that. I'll blame it on them anyway. But if you don't get good sleep, it can ruin your day. We do need sleep for physical well-being, but it's not as near and vital as communion with God is to our spiritual health. Jesus was often found going to the Mount of Communion alone. There are places in the Gospels where he spends entire nights in prayer. Isn't that amazing? Say, but yeah, he's God manifest in the flesh. That's true. But he was all man. He was a human being. He was subject to weariness, just like we are. But he was without sin. And he is certainly our example. I don't know if you've ever been to an all-night prayer meeting. I have. When I went to Wilmington Baptist, there were different times where we would be praying for a revival meeting or something like that, and we would call for an all-night prayer meeting. And boy, you talk about some people looking rough at the end of an all-night prayer meeting. But we did it. We sought the Lord. I think of Paul and Silas. And it's one of the things that has always amazed me. And I've always said, here they were serving the Lord, preaching the gospel everywhere they went. And the thanks they got was they threw them into prison. But first they beat them unmercifully, put them into the inner prison. And it says at midnight, they began to pray, they began to sing and praise God. And a miracle happened, and the doors of the prison swung open. And remember, the Philippian jailer was about ready to kill himself. He said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Evidently, they were praising God for their salvation and their deliverance. And Paul said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house." But there they were, under the most adverse circumstances, finding something in prison to praise God for. And their testimony was so influential and so powerful that it moved the Philippian jailer to ask them how to be saved. That's pretty amazing. I pray that our flame of zeal and devotion would burn as brightly as Paul and Silas, as the Lord Jesus Christ, as David, who rose at midnight to give praise unto God because of His righteous judgments. Let's check ourselves. Let's be more careful to monitor our seasons of prayer and seasons of praise, and make sure that we are living for the Lord and praising Him for who He is, what He's done, what He's provided, an eternity that we're going to spend with Him. We got a lot to praise the Lord for if we just get our mind right. All right, we'll stop there.